This week on Two Bears, One Cave, most dudes that look like that are not that funny.
And know? Most dudes that look like that are women.
How is it in Nashville, by the way?
You couldn't cheat on your wife there.
Yeah, okay. All
right. If we were lifeguards, dude, people would die.
That one's got to go.
Yeah.
You got to let them go.
100%.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Great, great news. He was on the waiting list for a long time, but Bert was approved for a liver draining treatment in Belgium. So he is there right now. And because of that, we are fortunate enough to have a great fill-in guest bear. Give it up for the one and only Theo Von, everybody. Thanks for coming, man.
Dude, thank you for having me here, man. And thank you. I want to thank you, too, for just over the years. Like, if I've ever called or had a needed suggestion about something, you've always offer me suggestion or get some guidance.
My pleasure.
So I appreciate that.
Anytime. I love when you call, and it's fun to have those conversations with other comics. You know, it's like it's fun that we all like kind of share. We share what we know and what we've experienced with one another, and I think it benefits all of us to like take care of each other. You know, like we're in a business where there's no like union, but in a way we kind of unionize in our own way. Like
yeah.
we talk to each other. You know.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point. But appreciate it, man. Yeah, I'm sorry this happened to Bert. Yeah. I hope. Yeah.
It's
you never know what's gonna, it's just God.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it's like his 14th or 15th surgery in a year.
Oh yeah.
My
whoop bracelet will get things from him sometimes. It'll just be like, oh, Bert's not doing good.
Really?
Yeah.
And the whoop will tell you that.
Yeah, I
They're
think just
because
it knows, because my phone is, since we have each other's numbers, it'd be like, oh, yeah, check in on him.
Check in on Bert.
Check pulse.
I think he is the only whoop customer that they're like, other people need to know about his stuff.
Yeah, dude.
The only one they're like, this guy is it's a problem.
Oh, in the middle of the night, I got a sodium high score the other night. I was like, what is that?
I'm digging these. The we're talking about glasses. Those work, dude.
Oh, thanks, man.
Regularly? Like you bust those out or special occasions? Or?
Yeah, I'll wear these. These are actually kind of disguise glasses. I'll wear them like if I'm in the airport or somewhere to kind of be a little more incognito, I guess. You know?
I don't think they have that effect.
You don't think so?
No, I just think they look good. They're good glasses.
Let me think.
I don't think I look over. I'm like, who the fuck is that guy? I think I'd be like, that's Theo Von.
Yeah, maybe I got to get him tinted or something. But
yeah.
Yeah,
because just to be clear, you did say I have some sunglasses.
Yeah,
and those are not.
Oh, you wear these? I'll wear them in the sun, dude. It sucks.
Oh, those suck.
Oh yeah,
those suck. Sunglasses.
For the sun? I would say yeah. I wouldn't put them on a baby.
Have you explored why you think they suck as sunglasses?
No, I haven't really gotten into it, but it's not. I think a lot of it is more me pretending that they work.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yours look sharp, man.
Thank you. I really, you know, I don't know about you. I feel in a way a bit like a sunglasses hoe, meaning like, you know, I lose a good bit of them, mm-hmm. right? Like, but you find ones that I have a big wide head. Like, you have to get the right framing. But a pair of sunglasses that work for you, it changes your whole vibe and your whole day. You know? Like, even if you said, like, you could see them on somebody and it doesn't matter who they are, it can really change your perception of them.
Oh, yeah. I think anybody, if somebody, yeah, like, it could be a damn inmate, it could be a damn pedophile, whatever. If somebody shows up with fucking, you know, those look territorial. It means like, okay,
yeah.
I know what's going on around here.
Yeah.
I've been in a convertible recently.
Yeah.
I am experienced in this area.
Yeah.
I'm going to molest everybody.
Yeah.
You know? All you softcore boys better get out of this neighborhood.
It is a thing where like, I've told this story before, but one time I hired a realtor to find me a place. This was back in Cali. And I noticed that this dude, because you can't not notice it, was bringing a pretty big briefcase to every time we met up. And like, you just don't see dudes rock briefcase, you know, briefcases a lot. Yeah. And he's like putting it on the table, talking about stuff, bringing it to these showings. And then one time I go to his office and, you know, I see the briefcase and I was like, you know, you don't really see dudes with briefcases a lot, you know, like you.
Yeah.
And I don't see him open it much. I'm like, oh, that's pretty unique. And he goes, you want to see what's in here? And I'm like, yeah, all right. So he goes and he opens it and it is like, it's got like the soft felt interior. It's custom made and it's just 12 pairs of sunglasses. And I was like, is this what you're bringing to all of your meetings? And he was like, yeah. And I go, what's going on? Like, what's this all about? And he goes, oh, you want to see? And he goes, it just depends on what kind of meeting. And this is when you're like, this guy is insane. He goes, depends on what I'm feeling like that day, what kind of meeting. Mm. And then he busts out a pair and he goes, like, these right here. And he puts them on. He goes, you want to fuck with me? You're not going to fuck with me if I got these fucking things on. And I was like, yeah, no, absolutely. I knew that I was with a completely crazy person. And I was like, right, right. He goes, that's why I got these, man. He goes, these are the don't fuck with me. So if I'm going to a meeting and I don't want people to fuck around, I put these on. And then he's like, and he picks them off and he gives another. He's like, these are like for like, you know, I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your property. I don't want to threaten you. I'm like, okay. And that was his whole briefcase scenario. It wasn't papers, it wasn't pens, it had nothing. It was just sunglasses. And in a way, I kind of get what he's going for.
Yeah.
But that was that dude's, like, that was his mojo. Like, that's what carried him. Like, some people, you know, they got to have their jacket or whatever that makes them feel like this guy. It was all sunglasses. It was all sunglasses.
Yeah, some people, I guess, do have, like, a Fonzarelli had that jacket.
Yeah.
Who else is somebody that wore like a specific kind of accoutrement or whatever?
What about in comedy? Isn't there some people that have like you never see them without something? I feel like there is.
Well, those acts are gone. Dude, how many acts were there that used to have something? Have a fiddle, have a buddy, have a little black guy sitting on their knee or whatever. They used to have all of it. And now it's like you're lucky to find a guy who's...
Hey, Reggie! About to start our bit. Yeah, you're right. Remember those Italian dudes that had like... You saw those guys, right? It was like two Italian dudes and that was like their act. It was like a real...
Yeah.
One of them owned the act. So so he never switched out. And then... But he would switch out the second guy like every few years.
Yeah, yeah. Like Joe and Ricky or Joe and Ronnie or something, or Joe and Ronnie the second or whatever.
That's right. That's right. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, they had a room over there in like Van Nuys or
yes. And like when your early days, when you're just trying to get, you're like, hey, and they're like, all right. And he had like the hair greased back. I mean, it was a real like persona type of act.
Oh yeah, they were greased up. One of them was real, had his hair greased up. One of the other guy was bald. I think he just greased, like, put a bunch of grease on his head.
Just put grease all over his bald head.
It was like, damn, dude.
You're sweaty, man. It's a good look. Do you have a thing where, because I have a thing where if I'm doing stand-up, I don't want to be like too, I can't be like too dressed a certain way that's like too, feels too cool or like too, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you get like a jacket and you're like, it's a cool jacket. You like it. But then you go like, oh, I don't want to do stand up in this jacket.
No,
I can't. And they're like, why would I go? Because it just feels like too much. It feels like you don't want to feel like you're an action star.
Yeah.
Doing stand up. Right. So,
yeah, that would be, I feel like if you're too cool, I don't know how you can do comedy if you're too cool.
Yeah. That's the thing is that I always tell people, like, you don't get to be both.
Yeah.
You can be cool and, like, you can be kind of funny if you're cool. But if you're, like, trying to be, like, comedian level, like, pro level, then you're not, like, the coolest. You can't be.
Well, but then, okay, I agree with you. That would always be, like, because I think most comics never really felt cool. So if you went into something... But then, so over time, you have guys like Dice who did it, really?
Yeah, but it was like hyper cool. Like it was, right. it became like, that guy's a pretty cool guy. It was like a put on persona of,
I mean, your pussy.
Like, so it was cool caricature.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, it's interesting. You got that guy, you have Matt Rife, who's like the most handsomer comedian that they've ever even made. And some people say he's an NPC or something. Or
he's a what?
Doing something for Biden or whatever.
What? Really? Jesus Christ, is that what Matt looks like? I see this is like the second time I've seen him. I'm like,
yeah, and look, I don't even want to see that much. I've never seen, honestly, I've never seen that much of any man.
I mean, here's the thing. It's
But you don't have handsome, I mean, look at this, dude. He's resting. He's getting resting. A little rest in on his muscle.
No, you know what? This is a good, it's a good one to bring up because this is actually against everything that you're told is possible. Where somebody's like, he's a handsome, like good looking kid. I mean, he looks like a model, you know, he's a model, model body. And then he is a funny guy though. I mean, I give him, he's a funny dude. I've seen him, I've seen the clips that they're all viral.
The clips are funny, man.
And he really knows, like, he's fun working a room.
Really good at
it. And I mean, he's just good at that. So yeah, you can't say that it's impossible, but also
it's unique though.
It's very unique. It's singular. It's like it works with him doing what he's doing. In other words, like if you go, I'm going to pose like this and do, like, I don't know, man, like you could try, but it's probably working for him because it's a unique thing where he's authentically being himself. I think he is
that guy,
this guy.
Yeah.
He's both a good looking kid and he's quick and witty and funny. And it just, it all works.
Yeah.
But most of the time, if like most dudes that look like that are not that funny.
Yeah. And most dudes that look like that are women.
Right.
I mean, no joke. I love Matt. I commit. It's awesome. It's awesome to see anybody doing well.
Matt Rife, gay boyfriend. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's some of the topics that are out there. Okay.
Yeah.
But nobody has, I mean, Matt, it looks better than a lot of the women that I've dated. I think, honestly.
He's beautiful.
The guy is damn beautiful.
Yeah.
Dude.
He is beautiful. I mean, I 1,000% agree that he is.
And blacks like him.
Yeah. All blacks.
A lot of them.
Yeah. Well, he has like, he has kind of like swag down and he, you know, he talks
to the ladies like him. Shamar Moore got on stage with him the other day.
Yeah. I think I saw that. I saw that. Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah. And I saw that. Yeah. Because he goes, you know, I'm pretty too. Like he was like standing up for pretty men. Yeah. It was the wildest shit where he's like, we're people too. And we deserve.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah, we need a few more mirrors in the economy. But we are people too.
It was
son.
Insane. Yeah. But yeah, it is its own. It's such a unique like thing going on there. But I mean, look, it works for that kid. I don't think most of the time, like, you know, you see like somebody can be like pretty cool and funny, like movie stars. Sometimes like you go, the guy's got like a great personality, like can deliver a line, but it's not the same as like getting on stage with a mic and like you know what you see, like I always bring up, if you see like Rogan is jacked, right?
Yeah,
but
that's almost an anomaly.
But he does his best to mask that on stage. On stage, he wears oversized shit all the time.
He does wear that big.
Because what happens is if he were wearing like a fitted shirt, then you'd be like, look at this guy's fucking jacked body.
Right, you're watching his muscles.
You'd be watching. Yeah, you want people to like not be distracted by that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like big, crazy, like tits. And if a woman's wearing like really fitted out, you're like, okay, and that's what you're going to look at. You know, you see like most women like will wear... If they're really doing stand up and taking it serious, like most of them won't
accentuate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a thing you have to do, unless you're Matt Rife.
Yeah.
Then you're a beautiful woman and you can show it.
God.
And be funny. Yeah.
I mean, in any orbit, he's going to do well now. It's like that's what the new thing is.
Yeah.
You know, he could do a gender reveal on himself once a year and people would fucking lose their minds. And I only say that out of admiration. Like, first of all, who wouldn't want to be handsome? Like, God, yeah, can you imagine like if you, yeah, when you were young, if you were handsome?
He must have.
I mean, he's really handsome.
Did he model? Because, I mean, he looks like a, did he not model at some point?
I can't, I'm sure they're coming at him now.
Yeah. Oh, now the offers have to be.
For Estee Lauder. Yeah. But also, I wonder if this is something that we're seeing, Tom, where it's like you're starting to see a merge of a lot of things in the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're seeing guys like who ran, who had their own game show, reality show, and now they're president of the United States. You know,
it's insane. Yeah.
You're seeing a lot. You're seeing boxers fight retired, semi-injured urban men, you know, for big purses.
Yes.
Who were pro athletes. Like, you're just seeing a lot of merging. So I wonder if this is just kind of part of that where things are merging, you know?
I think you're totally right. I think what this is a result of is the evolution of when it used to be you had to be granted the right to do something. So whether it was boxing or stand-up or a movie, the powers that controlled that would go, you're allowed to do this now. And then you go, oh, thank you so much. And now, like, you, Theo Von, tomorrow could be like, I'm going to box somebody. And because there's an internet and you have a fan base and people would go like, all right, it's like you then you're a boxer, you know? And then like, and the crazy thing is that like your pay-per-view numbers could be like, right, like they would be legit pay-per-view numbers.
Right.
Like people would go like, oh yeah, you see that boxer Theo Von, you fucking, like that's how crazy it is now, is that you just have to have the nerve to go, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the beauty of it all. It's what brings about both sides of it. It brings about the shittiness where people are like, this is garbage. And you're like, yeah, ignore it then. But also it lets things pop because somebody goes, I want to do this. And I'm not asking permission. Yeah, you just do
That's
it.
That's a good point. Yeah, never in the world has there been a better time where you could literally set a phone up in your yard.
It's crazy.
And start a carnival.
Yeah, yeah. You could.
For the whole world. You could literally say, hey, mom, come out here. Hit her with something, right?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you're on tour.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'd be like, do you know this guy? He's fucking wild.
Yeah.
He paralyzed his mother. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah. And then you're on the wheelchair mother tour. And you're selling like, and you have these t-shirts.
And she forgives you. Yeah. She's your mom. Yeah. You're not going to go to prison. She forgives you. Yeah. It's charges are dropped. And, is your beer fridge feeling a little empty? DoorDash is your door to beer without the run. Whatever drink you're in the mood for, they've got you. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code BEARS24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. I mean, there's like sometimes you just don't want to leave. That's me. Once we're at a spot and we're hanging out, I just don't want to leave. And now you don't have to. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25%, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code BEARS24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening, any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. You get her like one of the state-of-the-art Sprinter van with the fucking thing that goes up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are amazing.
And it plays, the best is for, I think, a lot of handicapped people love when you put that horn on it, like,
oh, man.
Because even if you're handicapped, you want to fucking, at least people to not think you are before you get out of the vehicle.
I wish that there was a little more, like, I wish you ran into a few more of them with, like, a few more jokes. You know what I mean? Like a little, like just like a little more flavor, like having a song play when the, like, or just like, I don't know, like
an intro song, like when the van opens up, it smoke should come out.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Right. Like,
yeah, you're right.
Why isn't that a little more like have a little.
Yeah, you're right.
Little hot sauce on your.
Yeah. Have a ramp that maybe does a circle or something.
Something like that. Give me a little juice or like throw a little, like, I don't know. Like an exhaust pipe on your chair, like as it, you know, have it make a like a noise or something, you know, like, hey, give me a little action. Give me a little.
People can yell out the window, these Asians need to chill, you know, people that don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to hear some racism in the distance, dude.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, like, and you should do blackface if you're in a wheelchair. Who's going to
No one's going to say anything to you.
Not a thing. What are they going to say?
Yeah.
And whose side would you be on at that point? That's an interesting thing to think about.
That is an excellent question, because I feel like if you have any amount of decency, you're going to side with blackface.
Yeah.
Like, if you are a decent human being at your core, you're going to be like, this man can't stand. Let him do what he wants to his face.
Yeah. You know? It's all he has left.
That's all he's got. Yeah.
Man, you're out of your mind, dude.
God. Is blackface that bad?
I've said how I feel about it, but people don't want to hear it.
I do.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think if you're a young kid and you, like, love a guy like Draymond Green or, you know, one of your favorite athletes or even... Then I think it's weird. We're almost perpetuating the racism. It feels like to me, I'm also white, you know?
Yeah, sure. I understand.
And so it feels though, like at a certain point you would say, oh, this kid can do that. He can idolize a black character because he's not, at a certain point, the malice has gone out of it. It's not like you're making, because they used to have to do it because of the, they didn't allow black people to be in movies, and so they would paint white people black.
Right.
Right? The minstrel shows and stuff. Or they would sometimes paint, like, and they would make them look goofy sometimes.
Yeah. It was,
so black people really felt offended by
it. So it's rooted in something terrible.
Right.
But that doesn't mean, but your point actually is a very good point, that a kid who's like five and just admires a person of color doesn't go like, is this rooted in a terrible thing?
Right.
They just go like, I
love this
guy.
I want to be DJ Metcalf. Yeah, that's who I want to be. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess it's instance to instance, you know, because you don't want to get like six frat dudes.
Yeah, that's true.
From the University of South Carolina racism.
That's true. And they're good at it there.
Oh, they're good. Yeah.
I think what we're really saying is that if you're a parent of a small white child, do you have any nerve, or are you a coward? You know,
that's true.
Are you going to paint your kid's face black, or are you just going to be weak?
Yep. Because now's the time.
Now's the time to show who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Halloween is what? August, September, 3 months away, boy.
Plenty of time to order product.
Get that shade, baby. Now, what if you came out with Segura Safe Shade? For black facing.
Yeah.
This clip isn't going to go over well.
No, it's not. It's gonna hurt one day.
Hey, look, I'm just saying things. Bert's texting me what to say.
Yeah, just by the way. This is very much in his line of thinking.
That's wild, dude. But yeah, do you remember, Tom? Like, do you remember when you started? Because we probably started around the same time. There were more novelty acts, though. Remember that?
Yes,
that was gone.
Absolutely, it was a bigger thing, and I think it's because we didn't realize it, but we were at the kind of the tail end of having, you could have a 15-minute act that bought you a career. That's what it was ending. In other words, you could have like a, that was when people would see an act and go, development deal, we should make a show around this character that you've created.
Yeah.
And so people were like, were taking things like, okay, I'm the keyboard guy with a funny hat, or I'm the, you know, the Italian baseball guy. And they were just hoping for someone to see it and go, here's some money. Here's some money to make that a bigger thing, to make it a sitcom. It's funny how like the sitcom also in the time that we've done stand-up was everyone's like ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And then it shifted to like, no one is interested at all. Nobody goes like, oh man, I really want to get a sitcom. Isn't that weird? Like we were doing stand-up at the beginning. They were just like, you know,
well, you give anything.
Sitcom? You're like, that's what it, this is all about.
Yeah, if a new sitcom popped off, you would almost start being like whoever the star of it was. Yeah. It was like, oh, this is how you do it.
I mean, I remember people landing shows and you were like, oh shit, like that's the lottery. That's the home run dream of this whole thing is what this dude just got, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre to me that I saw somebody have a show that, what's weird now is that all the networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, they all have secondary streaming components, so like apps, like you can watch
Peacock. Yeah.
I forget what CBS's is called, but it's like they all have one. And now those apps and those streaming ones actually make shows. But, and I don't mean this to sound like super condescending, but I'm like, who, I don't know anybody who goes, did you check out that thing on the
Freeform?
CBS?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Like, I don't know any, but they're making shows. But the difference is nobody goes, man, I hope I get one of those shows.
Right.
When we were starting out and like starting to do shows, and everybody was like, God, I want to get a sitcom.
Oh, I'd give anything.
Yeah, and then it morphed. It's like as streaming became popular and like specials changed and podcasts changed, everybody was like, oh, it's like they realized, oh, that's actually not what I want.
Because
The only people that are really going to try to get those now are people who genuinely want to do that.
Want it.
I think that we were all like, oh, we were told that's the dream. So you're like, oh, okay, I have to go after that then.
Yeah.
That's the dream, right? But I think most of us actually were like, I don't think I'm a sitcom guy.
I'd be good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember I would go on auditions and I would hate every minute of it.
Yeah.
I would hate preparing for it. I would hate, and I could feel that I would hate it. I think I was just too afraid to say that this isn't what I want to do because I felt like it was what the status quo was or what the direction of the river had always been. And he'd be like, well, if I say I don't want to do this, then it must mean I can't maybe even do comedy. You know, I felt like you couldn't just be a comedian. Like you had to also want to do this other stuff or there was no real outlet for you. I don't know what I thought. But I remember being in rooms, being too nervous to even, dude, one time I went in this room and sometimes the rooms would be, bro, like a bathroom. They're so small. You go into auditioning.
Yeah. Terrible.
And there's like, they have a little camera and you couldn't even see the person you were talking to, like behind the camera, and there's a bright light. And then they're like, all right, you're Anthony or something, you know?
Yeah.
You were lost in the woods, you know?
Yeah. You said that so aggressively. Like they were like, you were lost.
Yeah. Well, they would always, I got all these war movie things like POW type of shit. And so probably 70% of my auditions were for POWs.
And really?
Yeah. What did you get a lot?
Yeah. Hostage. I got hostage a lot. No, I mean, I got, I don't know, man. You know, friend. It was always like this guy's fat friend.
Head or butcher.
Like, yeah. But I did. I actually have had butchers.
I could see that. Sorry. Yeah, I don't want to say it out loud.
No.
That was a little aggressive.
No, I've gotten that. Fucking,
and he's a good man. Look, he's a good man.
He works at the cemetery. I got those. Yeah. Guy digs ditches, shit like that. It was never like the cool fucking Matt Rife rolls.
Oh, yeah. Never, dude.
No.
Yeah, do I get a gun that shoots collagen into my skin? Like Matt Rife, probably, like, you know. Like, that would be nice. But yeah, I got a lot of POW stuff. And so a lot of times it would, you know, it would be like, yeah, I'm lost in the woods or I'm escaping or some shit. And I hated it, though. But I kept doing it.
But that's the thing is that, oh man, I hated it too. The funny thing is I'm like being around you, looking at you, it feels like it would be, I mean, it feels easy like to imagine them shaping a show around you though, you know? Like you're so unique and like your story, your back, it feels like they would have been like jumping on each other to go like, we got a show for you. Was that not ever brought to you?
Never.
Like, really?
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and bar mates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Buying someone jewelry is usually a great experience all around. They get a beautiful gift, and you get the unforgettable moment of seeing the look on their face when they open it. The only tricky part, figuring out how to get the perfect piece at the best price. This is what I recommend for any jewelry purchase. Source it from BlueNile.com. Blue Nile offers thousands of independently graded diamonds and fine jewelry at prices significantly below traditional retail. They also offer a peace of mind with every purchase with some of the highest quality standards in the industry. They're available 24/7 by phone or chat to answer technical questions and give recommendations for every budget. The thing about buying jewelry is you really don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're looking at often. And the great thing about working with Blue Nile is you have somebody who is a true expert that can help guide you along the way so you don't feel lost, so you know what these diamond grades are, you know you're getting real value. You can feel great about your purchase because Blue Nile also offers a diamond price match guarantee. And just in case you don't, they offer 30-day returns. Shop Blue Nile today and experience the ease and convenience of the original online jeweler. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I think they thought I was some crazy right-wing wigger kind of dude. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of times. And so...
That's a great idea for a show.
I pitched it. But they don't. Nobody wants what you pitch.
If that's the log line, they're like, what's this show about? Yeah. Like, it's just crazy right wing wigger.
Yeah.
And he's his friends. Like, it's fucking,
oh, dude.
Green light it. Let's go. 22 episodes.
BLM, son. You know what I'm saying, dude?
Oh, fuck.
But it was, I am amazed sometimes when I look back at just my own part of that part of my life, how much I went against probably what my real feeling was of what I was enjoying doing, or maybe not able to see that, oh, I really enjoyed the stand-up part.
Yeah.
But the acting part was a real challenge to get myself to do.
And it's like, it's so funny because what you realize is like you should just listen to yourself on that.
Oh, yeah. I wish I would have.
Yeah. And that we all realize it with time and age, right? The one that used to kill me, I would get this thing and they're like, you know, this is the grandfather. And I'd be like, hey, do you think they're going to probably book a guy who's like 70 doing this? So, you know, shit like that. And they would go, it would just be good for them. It'd be good for them to see you though. And I'm like, but this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. And then you prepare and you go and you sit in a room and you're like, these are all guys in their set, like the logical thing. And I'm like, man, like I just spent so much time and energy doing something that was for a waste. And there were things like that all the time where they're like, you know, you're going to play this. The part is a guy who's 400 pounds or something. I'm like, don't you think they're going to get like a 400 pound guy? And they're like, no, you should just go. And you go to the waiting room and you're like, no, these guys are all huge as fuck, you know? Like, that's what
people are CPAP, and there's like a CPAP hub where they're all locked in,
getting
the same air.
They all had fucking carts. You know, meet me, one of those, and big old Burt bodies. And I was like, no, they're going to book one of these guys. So, but just shit like that where you're like, why am I even putting this effort into this thing?
Yeah.
I remember the day where because I would really fucking loathe commercial auditions. I was like, fuck. And I went on a few, and yes, I booked a few. I mean, my batting record or average was just absolutely deplorable. I mean, some people were like really good at it. They were always, yeah. I think I did 4 commercials. I don't know. But the point being that I realized that I'm like getting auditions and I'm like, nah, I don't want to go to that. Like I'm internally going like, don't go. And then one day the commercial agent was like, hey, you know, like we keep sending you stuff and you're not going. And it was like, it's like part of like your growth as a person. I go, yeah, I'm not going to go on anymore. You can take me off as wow. And they were like, really? I go, yeah, I don't want to do this. And they were like, okay. And so I just, you know, I stopped. I just didn't do it. And I was like, oh, that feels, you know, I was like, that feels better. I don't want to do that. Why am I putting myself through this shit, you know? And the thing you find out is that later on, you know, managers and like your theatrical agents, if there's a huge thing, they find out about it too. And they go, do you want to audition? And I was like, no. The only thing I've ever even sent in ever since then was like a voiceover audition. Because you just sit in a room and you're like, here you go. I don't know. It's like throwing it against the wall.
Yeah, doing a cartoon. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But that's kind of it. I mean, I go like, I don't want to, like the whole thing of like, this one's in Santa Monica. And you're like, are you fucking serious? Like 2-hour drive out there to sit
and
in one of the.
Right by that library too.
Yeah.
And they're always, they like equipped people down there with weapons. I remember a couple years ago, somebody did a lot of the homeless people. There was like a, I don't want to say it was like a Renaissance fair thing that broke down and the homeless people like accosted it.
Yeah.
So there was like, I would say almost maybe 4 months where half the homeless people down there had swords and looked like fucking Lady or Man Guinevere, you know? Like it was like, there was, can we see a picture of Lady Guinevere, sir?
Let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So it got real risque down there for a while.
Santa Monica was, and Venice was
Venice is
crazier.
It is yeah.
How is it in Nashville, by the way? Is it, do you, good vibes? Is it like?
It's quiet. You couldn't cheat on your wife there.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool. Good.
I think it's that kind of town. There's no way you could go anywhere without. You couldn't cheat on your diet there without somebody knowing. Like, so, it's just that. It's a small community.
Yeah, we're like, it's small. It's a bigger city to most people, but then you realize it's smaller than you think it is. Like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, there'd be nowhere, say, if you were going to do adultery or whatever. Right? There'd be nowhere to invite somebody
that
you would feel comfortable.
Hide.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's really the best way. It's kind of like but it's an applicable way to say it to people. Like, okay, Austin, I feel like you could maybe get away with it.
Yeah.
L.A., you could have a couple families.
Yeah, you really could. Yeah.
I mean, Bert has 3 houses next door to each other now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He keeps buying them, too.
Yeah.
He keeps buying them, and then you go, hey, why don't you donate to charity? He goes, I don't just have money laying around. I'm like, I think you do. I think you do.
Yeah. One of the houses, I think, is just full of his salt intake, I heard. It's just like, yeah. You open the door, and there's
spices and rubs?
Yeah. There's just a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. By the way, I know it happened a while ago. Did you see that guy eaten by a shark?
I didn't see that.
You didn't?
I don't watch a lot of that, but I'll look at it.
It's pretty wild.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is. I don't know that we've actually, like, you know, people have these videos and you go like, you think it's something and you're like, oh, this isn't really what you're saying it is, but this is genuine.
Oh.
This is, yeah. That guy is just like swimming and it's. Oh, this one is censored, though. Don't play that. No one wants to see that shit.
What?
Yeah, get the real deal.
There's
man.
Worse than that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know why they're going to... It's so silly because you're not actually seeing blood and guts. So for them to put like a...
And why was he doing it?
He was swimming off the coast. He's in Egypt. So I guess he's... I think he's on vacation.
I don't vacation anywhere where the Bible happened, really, because so much shit happened there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's
wow. Can you imagine that?
I know, like the absolute horror of that.
And the father just kept recording?
I think it's someone else. I think somebody else is recording.
I guess you'd want to see him at your last time seeing him. I don't know how you'd be. I don't have any children.
No, I think you're he's just swimming there. And I don't think people know what's going on at first. Yeah.
That must have been right when it hit him, huh? Because
the tiger shark. Yeah, look, his legs were up in the air. I don't know if you looked. If you see that, take it back a few seconds. Look right here where he gets pulled under and then his legs go straight up.
What would you do, you think?
Well, that's the thing, that the most horrifying part of this is you realize that this guy knows what's happening and it's just absolute panic. Like, he just knows, like, it's people's like worst. I'm getting attacked by a shark. I'm getting eaten by a shark.
Yeah, you're
right,
like,
now.
How does this happen?
I mean, your adrenaline is shooting through the roof. You're freaking out, panicking, as you should. Everyone's reaction is panicking.
I mean,
you know, that's funny. Like, people go like, well, you know what you should do in this situation? And you're like, oh, what should I do?
Yeah.
In this situation?
They're like,
well, their eyes tend to go. So if you can hit them directly on the nose, and you're like, fantastic. Yeah. I will. I'll keep that in mind. It's like, it is such a horrific thing. And I didn't realize that his dad was there and his girlfriend.
God.
I just got a link to it from Nadav. He was like, you want to see something hilarious? And he sent me that
link. That's not how I said it.
I was like, all right.
Nadav seems like he would send that to someone.
He's a sick, sick person.
Yeah, I don't know if he's definitely, I don't know if he's sick. He seems hard to insure, let's put it like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's scary, man.
Yeah.
God, that makes me so scared.
Do you? Oh, it's terrifying.
I went snorkeling last week, and it even got too harrowing. Yeah.
Where were you doing it?
I was in Hawaii, and I went snorkeling.
Oh, that's a place where shit goes down for sure.
It was, yeah.
Where, it must have been beautiful, though.
It was beautiful, but it got so scary, and there weren't even any fish, and I'm like, oh, if the fish are gone, I'm fucked, you know, like.
It was so scary.
I was in Maui. And then I start swimming back, and I start noticing that I'm not doing super great out there, and you can see, like, some of the lifeguards are, like, in a little group, and that usually means you're not doing good.
Yeah.
And then, thankfully, I got close enough back in, man. But it was pretty scary for a little bit. I was like, I don't know how much longer I can keep swimming over there. Because I got real scared.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing more humbling than the ocean. Truly. I don't think there's anything more.
100%.
You know, you can feel yourself in a lot of situations. And if you want to be brought down to the level, just spend some time in the ocean. Because you learn real quick. I mean, I've snorkeled before. I got caught in a riptide in Florida like a year ago, where I was letting it, they tell you to let it take you, right? If you don't want to fight it, you want to drift out of it. Mm-hmm. And I was doing that, and I guess I wasn't doing it enough. And every time I would try to fight it, it wins. You never beat it, you know, like, it's too strong. It just pulls you back. And I kept going further out, and then I would swim again. And then what happens is you're swimming against it, so you are exhausting yourself. You're starting to fatigue. And then I get my feet on the ground, and I'm, you know, you're digging through it, like, you're really grinding through it, and then you feel it again. It pushes you back, and this is, like, repeating and repeating. So you are really depleting yourself of energy, and at one point, I see the lifeguard, and he's sitting in his tower, and then I see him get down. And I see him walk, and he's walking closer, and I realize he's watching me.
Oh, yeah.
And as I'm doing this, I get my feet on the ground, and I keep pushing, and I finally get, like, make some ground. And there's this moment where he goes like this, like, thumbs up, you good? And I take my hand, and I'm about to go, like, come out here.
Yeah.
Like, that's how scared I feel. Mm-hmm. And then I just, like, I get my footing, and I make it out of it, and I come out of there with, like, my heart rate's, like, 160, and he was like, oh, I thought you were in trouble there. I go, that's because I was. And he was like, yeah, I looked. I go, dude, that fucking thing took me. And I mean, you have those moments where you're like, oh, this could end like that.
That fast.
In Hawaii, one time in Maui, I rented a vehicle, and they go, oh, yeah, explore, go here, there, you know, tell me where to go. And we end up at this completely isolated beach where the sand is at a, like, you drive up here and it's at a full decline into the ocean. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is cool. And there's nobody there. And I walk into the ocean, and just in 3 feet of water, I realize, like, oh, shit. Like, it's full undercurrent, you know? Like,
yeah, this thing's...
Yeah, and you have to climb out. So, like, right away, I get out of that thing, and I was like, that was actually terrifying. Yeah. And when I get back to the hotel, I tell them where I went, and I go, yeah, I got in the water there. They go, oh, you shouldn't get in that water. I go, you didn't say that. You said, go drive around. They're like, oh, yeah, you'll drown there. I was like, oh, cool. you failed to mention probably the most critical piece of information. But I mean, like, yeah, dude, like, sharks... Fucking undercurrents. It's all
of it.
Yeah, dude, that thing, ocean doesn't forgive.
It's so heartless, man. It's so heartless. It's like wet time, you know? I remember I got out and I was snorkeling out there and it kept lifting me up and so I could see like some of the reef, but then it would go so fast that I would be like sitting on the rocks.
Yeah.
Almost like a model or something, you know, like it went so low. It had like an 8 foot fluctuation. So it was like, I was like swimming and doing good. And then suddenly I was just like in a weird pose or something on this painful rock, you know, and like, God, it was too much, man. I could eat. Dude, when I was in Florida, the riptide in Florida killed like probably 1/17 of the, or 1/30 probably of the urban kids in our area growing up.
And this is...
Where? And I hate to say, and I don't mean that in any type of way, except it was a different time and it was disheartening, man. Because... every other graduating class would lose someone, when they went to Florida on spring break.
Yeah.
I mean, it was real, real common.
It just happened where I went to high school in Florida, and it was the fucking saddest thing where the kids, I guess the tradition is that when they are seniors, they just jump in. Mm. You know what I mean? Like they do a collective jump into the intercoastal.
Oh.
And they did that. I mean, this is like, it's not long. It's not, and it's not in waves and crazy. It's just like, it's the intercoastal. It's like the water from the ocean that you think, like it's supposed to be a river. They did that. And one of the kids just didn't come up. They came and figure out how it happened. And he died.
Dang it.
Just graduated high school.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. It was like a celebratory jump.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, they had a kid in Baton Rouge from University High School over there, and they went on one of those booze cruises or something.
I heard about this.
And it's like they put these kids, and they dressed the ship up like a pirate ship, and they said, we're going to go fight some, you know, fight another. It's like it's some horrible pirate reenactment, you know?
They went to the Bahamas.
Yep. They were in the Bahamas and they were off some island and somebody dared this guy to jump in. And I think it was nighttime and that was it.
They dared him to jump in. There were sharks. And so when he was going towards the buoy, he saw a shark and then deviate. He went away from it. So like what he should have grabbed, he was like, oh, there's a shark over there. And then that was it. Yeah. Like, they never saw him again.
Like, I can't believe there's not more footage of it. Sometimes you're like, does somebody...
But there is footage of him in, and you see the shark. You see the shark. It's crazy that there's...
Oh.
Yeah.
God, it makes me so scared. I'm not shocked that we are on... This is why we've chose to be on land. I'm sure there was a lot more people in the water a long time ago. We could not handle it.
Living in the ocean?
Dude, if we were lifeguards, dude, people would die.
Yeah. That's true.
People, because they'd see me out there and be like, oh, go get your buddy, right? And then I go get you and you come out and they're like, whoa, no.
I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
That one's got to go.
Yeah.
You got to let him go.
Yeah.
They'd be like, you're the lifeguard. I'd be like, no.
And Matt Rife's just standing there just fucking looking like he should be
They're trying to clean sunblock off the creases in his six-pack. They're just like, oh, that got stuck in there.
Yeah, dude, imagine getting lint in your whole six-pack. That's got to be insane.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Wow. Fuck.
Yeah,
it's been different, though. They used to have guitar acts. Remember Nick Thune played a guitar? I'm not saying that he was a guitar, but do you remember him?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Nick Thune, very talented comedian. He played a guitar.
That was a big thing for a moment, though, too, were people who had a guitar act. There was a few. I'm totally blanking.
It was Cowboy Bill Martin. He's a famous comedian, I believe, out of Texas, actually. And he, I think he did guitar some. Yeah, there you go. He was on the circuit a lot when I was coming up.
There's a couple of these country act dudes that are massive. That there's a dude with a big cowboy hat who they were like, oh, this guy, you don't understand the level. Who's like the big one? Country
comedian?
Yeah, comedian. Who's a kind like? Yeah. Just no, you don't have to do it with me. Just like
big hat, yeah.
That's a total Nadav search. Tim. Oh, Rodney. Doesn't Rodney perform with like?
Oh, Rodney Carrington. Yeah,
like he's huge.
Oh yeah, huge. He's been doing it forever too.
Yeah.
He does do. He has a musical component
and
to
but
it.
He's got any big.
Who else?
Cowboy hat.
Jerry Clower was my favorite comedian.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about Killer Bees.
Mm-hmm.
I'd do this gig and they were like, oh, you're going to, oh, that was the thing. They were like, you're going to work with a Killer Bees son. I was like, from the Wu-Tang Clan? And they were like, no, like, you know, Killer Bees the comic. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they're like, you don't know Killer Bees? And I'm like, no, what is Killer Bees? And then they told me, they're like, oh, dude, they go, I was working a club. They go, when he comes here, they go, we'll just put like 11 shows on and they all sell out. Yeah. And then so he'll come back in a couple of months and just do it again. And then a third time. And I'm like, what the fuck are you? I thought I knew most of like the names at the time. I'm like, who is this? And
Killer
they're
Bees,
like, oh, yeah,
baby.
Dude. They're like, Killer Bees, like mega draw.
He looks like JonBenet Ramsey right there in that one picture in the middle.
Ramsey.
There's not a lot of JB and R reenactments, is
no,
there?
No, there's not.
Where is that musical when you need it, huh?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that story. Where's that story?
Yeah, yeah. No, the picture above, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, this actually looks like Dateline. That looks like the story. He's about to be like, do you ever wonder what happened with JonBenet Ramsey? Like, you know, when they do the they're like Stone Phillips.
Yeah.
He's like, you'll never believe what was at the bottom of those stairs.
Oh, yeah.
And then in a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Richards used to do the best thing about that. He would do Keith Morrison all the time.
Yeah. Keith Morrison. He had a very specific cadence.
He was good. He'd be like, but what about that can opener?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something different about it today.
Yes.
You know?
That's true. Yeah. It was.
God, Jeff Richards is so fucking funny,
cool
dude.
Cool day, which was odd.
Yeah.
For the spring.
Yeah.
All right.
yeah.
Jeff Richards is really, really funny. Really funny.
Yeah. He does some great impersonations, man. Mm-hmm. I love working over at the Comedy Store and seeing him. Yeah. What other acts were there that I remember? And I don't know if Cowboy Bill Martin did have a guitar. He may not have. He was a cowboy. That was part of his. But he also was a real cowboy in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that was he? Who'd you say was your guy? You said
Jerry Clower.
Pull up Jerry Clower.
Now he was.
I'm thinking of Jerry Lawler. I think.
Well, they're similar, actually.
Yeah.
They look a little bit similar.
So was this like when you were a kid? Was this like your parents were watching like that kind of thing, or just?
No, I was like 14, and my friend's dad gave me a copy of this. He said, "Have you heard of this man?" And I said, "I haven't heard of this man." And he's from Yazoo City, Mississippi, and he was just like a great storyteller.
Ah.
And I started listening to his albums, and it's just good stuff. It's just creative.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good. And then he toured as a comedian for a long time. a lot in the Southeast. I think he played football too at maybe University of Alabama or Mississippi State.
No shit. Oh, really?
So I think he had that crowd, you know, that SEC crowd.
Oh, yeah. Looks like that's his card right there.
Oh, yeah. That's right? Sick.
Click
dude.
On that football card.
Oh, I'd love to have one of those. That's crazy.
What is that?
And we both look a little bit similar. We got similar nose.
Can you? Oh, yeah. That's MSU, Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's a good place to get fucking human rabies, baby.
And the fucking the pennies in the fucking that's what they do. They do the what is it, the cowbells where they put pennies in. You're like, God damn.
Oh yeah. I would leave. Yeah, I couldn't even stay for
I went
second
to the Egg Bowl once.
And you did was, with yeah. Ole Miss in Mississippi State?
Yeah. Yeah. It was,
why?
It was, my sister went to Ole Miss. My grandparents went to Ole Miss, yeah. Yeah,
dude, you were almost a what's it called a legacy?
Yeah, a running rebel, baby. No, a fighting rebel, right? Running rebels is UNLV.
Wow, dude, if you had went to Ole Miss, your life would be different, Tom.
Yeah, probably.
You'd be like a sharecropper or whatever.
Probably, man. I definitely probably would have taken a different path. I mean, it's beautiful. Going to Oxford is beautiful.
Oh yeah, it's stunning. It's stunning over there. I love it there. It's very pretty. Very pretty. Mississippi is very archaic in a lot of its demeanor, you know. It's more royal and more indentured.
I like visiting. It's such a departure from what you're used to.
Yeah.
You know, like wherever you, if you from the Midwest or even honestly from the Southeast, and you go to somewhere like Oxford, you're like, oh, yeah, there is like a level of class with which people, they're just more like, it's like, it reminds me of like old school, like old school country club vibes.
Yes.
Where people are like, you know, I was there visiting, I think my mom was there, we were visiting my younger sister, and, you know, every guy that she's like, I go, you know, oh, he's in my class, whatever. He would be like, hello, sir.
Yeah.
And ma'am, it's very nice to meet you. Like, very polite, formal kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, wow. And everybody kind of, they all kind of dress the same.
Yeah, they put on there is a kind of a code of conduct.
Yeah, there's like in a country club, right? Where you go.
Very
like,
much.
Yeah, like where you use a lot of khaki pants and like mm-hmm. button down
and
shirts.
And the croakers with the glasses yep. on the little rope.
Yep. That's casual. That's if you're like out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the but like everybody was pretty, yeah, it was like pretty formal style there. I think that's a big departure from what I understand of what's going on in at MSU. Like there, that's a little more rural and like
yeah. In Oxford, you would ejaculate onto a doily or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very yeah, it's got that kind of energy. Dude, your sister went there. There's a lot of pretty girls went there. Was she a real?
She was pretty. Yeah, yeah. She's pretty. She ended up leaving. I guess that she maybe put on some weight and they cooked her out.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. No, she was she was pretty. She was pretty. No, they were pretty. I remember I hooked up with one of her friends
when
I visited. And
you were younger than the girl?
No. I was 22 or 3, and she was like 19 or 20. Okay. So it was great. It was really great, actually. But there were a lot of beautiful SEC girls. I was like, poof. No, it's probably the reason my life would have been different is I would be dead if I had gone to school at Ole Miss. They're just, yeah. I think, I would have 1,000%. I think I would definitely would have gotten somebody pregnant.
Yeah.
As like at 19 or 20 years old.
Ooh.
And
your son would be working in here as a PA.
Oh yeah, sure. And so would I. I'd be like, we're both PA in here together. I think it would have been a different life.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I had graduated, but when I was there, I was like, oh, this was what I imagined the college experience would be. I fantasized about like the traditional, you know, kind of large American university experience. What I realized I was dreaming about was the SEC experience. I didn't even realize that. Mm. It's like what you see in movies of like, this is what a college atmosphere is. And I just didn't have that. Did you go to LSU? I forget.
Yeah, I went to LSU for a bit. And
that's kind of
it was good.
Yeah. I went there when I did Baton Rouge on tour, mm-hmm. and I got a, they gave me like a VIP tour of the
stadium?
New football, yeah, the stadium, but at the new facilities. Mm-hmm. Their fucking locker room now, like the new locker room. It's not that I think it's better. It is notably better than NFL locker rooms. It's one of the most,
dude, that's
incredible.
A good point.
Incredible. What they have is, it's other fucking level shit, dude. Like you walk in there and you're like, what in the, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like that one on the left there.
Oh, wow. It looks like first class seating on a overnight flight.
Okay. So when I walked in, I said the exact same thing. I go, this seems like international first class. Yeah. And the guy goes, it's funny that you say that. That's what we modeled this after. And the reason we do that is we have been doing studies and found, click two below that one. Yeah. He's like, we found that our players need more sleep. So we designed these so that they can take a nap at a moment's notice. And these turn into beds.
Mm.
So we want them getting more sleep. So we want them to be able to just be here and sleep. And then I was like, you know, like what's with these like crates underneath?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the he goes, oh, yeah, they can put their stuff in there. And each one of these has an individual exhaust vent so that the locker room doesn't smell. The smell escapes. So they put their dirty stuff in there. The smell escapes. And then we come and we take it out and clean it. I mean, these guys are like lab experiments,
yeah.
You know, like they are studying them down to the T and they know everything about, you know, yeah, they. I don't know. Is that true? They have air-conditioned helmets?
Yeah, that's what our intern just slapped me as he's...
I just wonder, are they making any money off that air they're huffing out of there? Dude, a lot of fucking people would pay a couple of bucks to huff that air coming off of...
a jockstrap?
Coming off of Jaden Daniels or Joe Burrow, dude. Yeah. I'll spend 11 bucks huffing off a Burrow, dude.
Oh,
if it keeps everybody fired up in the neighborhood. Imagine some dad driving across state to get his kids a couple of huffs of LSU football. Fucking body sweat.
I couldn't get the jock strap, but I got you some compression shorts. Yeah, look at these guys, dude.
Oh, God, what?
Yeah,
unreal. Dude. And where do they just press a button and a white girl pops out or something?
That's on your recruiting trip for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How crazy do you think recruiting trips get still? Do you think they still get crazy and we don't know it, or it's really locked down now?
I think it's different. I think the heyday of it is probably in the past. Can something like that still happen? Yeah, of course. But I think for the most part, there's just eyes everywhere. It's different, you know? It's like somebody is... It's always kind of keeping an eye on you. Everything has cameras, and now there's, you know, facial scanners and all this shit.
It's horrible.
I think it's still possible, and I think things like that still happen. But for sure, 80s, 90s, 2000, like earlier, I think that was, I mean, it's very well known. The funny thing is it's actually very well known that LSU was the place where like some of the wildest shit would go down.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of those schools and like in LSU, they're like, no, even they're like, we want you to come here and help us win a title. Like they're just down. Everyone's just down
to
win. So
a lot of girls would take a baby off some of these running backs or whatever, just to help them get down the field or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I know somebody who told me, a recruiting story, a player, NFL player, and it was for LSU, and it's like one of those fantasy stories.
Wow.
Yeah. He told me the story, and I was like, holy shit. And he goes, yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm like, yeah.
Oh.
That's pretty nutty, man. You're a senior in high school. Like, that's happening to you?
God, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I wonder, too, sometimes with this, now they're giving the players NIL money. I wonder if some players, it's going to cost them because you get that money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people, when you get money, when you start to make some money, it's hard to find your old drive because they almost deplete each. It's almost an even trade-off.
Yeah, very, you know? True, yeah.
And so I wonder how many guys would do well enough until they got to the pros and get that big deal.
Yeah.
But just because they're getting a starter deal of $30,000 or something early and they burn out on that and it prevents them.
You're 100% on point.
Like that's a weird
part. Very insightful because it is a big motivator. It's like, I got to fucking grind until I get there.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's going to keep a couple people in like third gear of like just cruising where they're going to lose that, you know. Now, here's the thing. You could also probably make a case that maybe that guy was always going to be that guy. Like, even he was never going to... The guys that like are bred to compete and win at all costs, they're not thrown. They just want more and bet, you know. But I think it is a point that like you're going to have some dudes that like probably would have grinded a little harder. They're going to be like, I got money now. Like, you know.
Right.
It's the same thing, like the kind of thing that can happen in stand-up where it's like you get money or fans, and then you can see that people's motivation to put in an effort and to do work kind of dips.
Yeah.
You know, they stop working.
Yeah, because I think sometimes you don't know what your motivation is almost too. And that's almost some of the scary thing about realizing getting an earning for some type of potential or a reward for some effort is sometimes you don't know what your motivation had been. It could have been to meet a woman. It could have been to make money. It could have just been to appease your parents or somebody.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, and you almost don't know that sometimes too. You get some type of reward or success for yourself that then kind of like slowly starts to clue you in. But it can be scary sometimes if all your motivation was, it's scary to realize you might run out of fucking motivation. That's something that's scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you just, first of all, I think that it's the fact that it's completely what you're describing is so universal. Like, it's not unique. People in the position that have the thought, you go, is this just happening to me? And then you realize absolutely everybody feels the same way, especially if they're in your position, like where they have fans. And
yeah.
Like, everybody kind of goes, what's happening? And is this real? And they have doubt. Why am I doing? Like, all those questions happen to everybody. So that's actually kind of the comfort in it, in that you know it's not only happening to you.
Mm.
It's everybody going through it. And you have the waves of like feeling great about what you do and so competent and proficient. And then I think the other side of it is normal too, where you're like, what am I any good? Do I even know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? I think I suck. Like, I think that it's healthy that you don't feel one way all the time.
Mm.
I think that it's that you always are, you know, going up, because like, that's sort of what it's like just to be a person.
Yeah.
Like, you don't stay at one feeling all the time. But the real fucking, I think, in stand-up, the real thing you have to do is you have to try to find ways to feel uncomfortable again. Because what happens is when you are unknown, you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, that's a good
point. A lot of times, right? Because you get booked on a show and you're like, fuck, are they going to like me? Is this joke? Am I going to do this joke? You have all these doubts. And then when you become known, you walk onto a stage and they're so excited to see you. Well, then it's kind of like you have to figure out, how do I get uncomfortable to like try something, to get an authentic reaction, right?
Yeah, what do? Do you have to go to another country, do you think? Or do you have to get like...
I think we're kind of in like a... Well, that's the great thing still about a New York and LA, is that those cities are so huge, especially in the world of stand-up, that there's every type of show. And you can actually, and you can find them, you can find these outside of New York, but I'm just giving them as an example. You can find shows where you're like, this might not be a crowd that knows me. And I think that's good.
Mm, yeah.
The other thing that people say that they do, and they really... It's hard to do this, but it's like once you're having stuff that you're working on and it works, you got to use sets where people do know you, like on a hot crowd, like, he's here, and they go crazy. You got to try to like figure shit out on those sets. Like, there's no point at a certain point of like doing
your great stuff.
I mean, yeah, at a certain point, that's masturbatory. You're just... doing it to feel good. And of course, I understand.
It's a really good point.
But you have to like go, like, I mean, even like I did a spot last night and I was like, I'm going to try this joke. And right before I went up, I was like, I think this is not going to work. And then I go, part of your brain goes, well, then don't do that. And then I was like, no, do it. And the thing about the reason that that's an important thing is that you go, oh yeah, it's the doubt that you have to embrace. Mm. Embracing doubt of like, maybe this will not be good. And then there's like things connected to that. You go, if this isn't good, maybe someone will go, oh, he's not that good. And then you don't want them to feel that way.
Right.
So you embrace like, oh, I'll abandon that and I'll do what works so that they go, oh, he's really good. You know, like it's all connected to these emotions. But you realize there's no making you a better comedian by doing the set that you know will kill all the time, you know?
Yeah, man. It's interesting. No, some of this stuff is interesting to hear from you because you've had a lot of, you know, you've had success and been on, it's interesting just to kind of to hear some of this stuff. Because, yeah, some of these places are places that I kind of start to see moments that start to happen. It's like, oh, yeah, am I just like if I'm not listening to that voice, then am I even growing right now?
Yeah. How do you approach like, because I'm fascinated because I've seen you do shit where I'm like, oh, like it feels like it's stream of consciousness, but I don't know if that's like,
yeah,
actually happening or like that's part of the performance. But do you just?
I think I can do a better job of trying to be more brave. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. I mean, it's a constant battle. Nobody ever goes, I have arrived.
Well, you don't want people not to like you. You've worked so hard for people to like you.
Yeah.
And I do miss when it was more of a surprise, when people didn't know maybe that you, having an element of surprise is awesome.
Yeah.
Like being able to say something in a group or be funny or know that people don't know you could be funny.
Yeah.
And then you get to surprise them, dude.
Yes, that's the best.
That was my favorite thing about being young. Like when a kid would introduce me to his parents or whatever, dude, I'm like, it is fucking on, dude. I'm going to low-key ruin my friend's life behind his back with his parents. Like,
yeah.
I would always set my buddy, like just, you know, we used to go smoke weed outside with my buddy. And his dad was kind of a... He was like kind of homophobic or whatever, you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so he would, if he thought people were queering around or whatever, he'd fucking,
yeah.
He'd grip the edges of his newspaper and he'd fucking shake it or whatever, you know? And so we'd go and smoke weed outside. I'd come back in early, right?
Yeah.
And I'd tell him, I'd be like, oh, Mr. Mike, dude, some of the guys were just, I don't know, somebody like, took their shirt off for no reason or something. I don't know what was going on.
I don't know and what was going on.
Yeah, dude. Then I would just go like sit on the other couch in their living room and you fucking see that newspaper do a fucking 180. He would just twist that bitch inside out, dude. And then my buddies would come in and they're stoned out of their mind. Yeah. Right? They've just been doing nothing but smoking weed in a Ford Ranger.
Uh-huh.
And so you could fucking see him. He'd like, sit down. He'd be like, what have you boys been queering around? He'd fucking lose his shit, dude. And his wife, you could hear her light a fucking cigarette in the distance.
Yeah.
And stop making a salad.
Yeah.
And I just remember it was so much fun though, dude. Just not knowing, like, because I just always had this awareness that like there's always some type of an audience somewhere. And the parents were like this distant audience to whatever our lives were. And so it was fun to like set up little things. But yeah, the element of surprise was just fun. Like now if somebody, if people know you can be funny, it's still fun. It's awesome, but it's
you're
different.
Right. And there is a fun thing about like, I don't know, you go into a store or something and you meet like the salesperson who has no idea who you are and you know, you say something and you really get them to laugh and then you're like, you get such a rush that you keep going, right? And then you're like, you're 30 minutes into buying socks and they're like, this guy, she's like, you're fucking hilarious. And like, it's like you realize like, oh yeah, that's what like it was in the beginning.
Yeah.
Is that you were always trying to like, make somebody be like, hey, I'm funny. You know, you're trying to like show them.
Yeah.
And then you get that rare thing. Not that, but you know what I mean? Where having that conversation. That is,
totally.
But I guess the thing is though, you also realize that as fun as that surprise is, it's not the only thing. There's something about this that it's just in you. It's who you are.
Yeah.
You love doing this. And there's just a thrill in making audiences laugh. It is the best feeling in the world. I think that's why I don't think you ever would stop doing it. We were talking about, we were at the club last night, just like that feeling of like, it's so fun to make people laugh. And when you see people like rocking, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's
yeah.
Good.
Or like hitting the table. You're like, there's no feeling like that. Like, it's just an amazing.
It is, dude. Yeah. There's something. And who wouldn't want to do it? Yeah. I think. Yeah. Yeah. When I was young, I just didn't like I just wanted to. Yeah. There was something. And if people were laughing, you knew that they couldn't hate you.
Yeah.
They had to have some, they were going to remember you. There were all these little things that came with getting people to laugh. Last night, this guy, sometimes you can have to kind of look under the lights from the on stage. You can kind of see the front row pretty decently. You know, if you kind of glance under that light line, and some dude was just pulling tears out of his eyes, dude. And that was like I was like, oh,
yeah,
we're doing okay for a little while.
Yeah, dude. We're very lucky to be doing what we're doing, I think, you know?
Oh, yeah, dude. It's crazy, brother. I mean, I wouldn't mind fucking having a little bit of that Matt Rife on me, though. God damn.
Yeah. I mean, it's all...
I mean, his merch, he could just come into stuff.
That's true.
Imagine that, just selling your own hair and shit for your merch.
Oh, my God. I know. I mean, he literally is killing it on the comedy side of it, for real. And then has just thousands of women going like, let me blow you, please. Yeah. Like begging.
And their husbands.
Yeah, the husbands are like, me too. Like, yeah. I'll work the balls. Yeah, yeah.
I'll rub her back,
yeah,
dude.
It's okay,
yeah.
It's okay. You're beautiful, man. That's fucking crazy. What a life. All right, where can people go? I know you're on tour through the fall into next year?
Yeah, probably next year. Kind of doing space. It's easier for me to not go from like city to city sometimes.
Yeah, space it out. That's a smart way to do it.
So
I'm going to follow you on that.
We're on like a couple year tour.
That's the way to do it. I think that's the way to do it.
Envious when I see that I'm coming everywhere and it's a fucking nice picture.
That's not what you want. You're doing it the right way. I swear to God, I will be following your example on the next one.
I just worry, yeah, but if I go out of business in a year and then I fucking miss half the dates, you know?
Not going to happen. The thing is that once you have like what you have going on, you have all these fans and people want to see you. It's like, you don't have to like make it hard on yourself. You can like, I think one of the great things I would tell anybody who's in the position we're in is like, hey, you know, when you're booking the dates, book Hawaii, like put that in, like book breaks to enjoy life, enjoy the success that you have earned. And to give you some perspective on that, it's not just show, like where you're just like, well, I guess I just do shows nonstop for like what is the joy factor in that? I think the joy factor is like, I'm snorkeling and might die, or you know, I'm
yeah.
like go yeah. go like yeah. like I would tell somebody like when you book these dates, look at the part of that and go, you know what, hey, after these like 4 months of touring, book a month of no shows and just like go enjoy your do something, go home, like just live life. Like, what is, you don't have, like, you're not like, if I don't do these shows, I can't pay rent.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like you've earned that. So
what is that feeling? Because there's a feeling of something. If I don't.
Yes, there is. I think that we all are like, part of it is there's a element of, well, he's doing it, so I should be doing it.
Yeah.
So you feel, which is also, you realize that's not a healthy, good perspective. It's that's not what you need to be doing. Part of it is a sense of competition. Part of it is that is the fear of it's going to end. So I got better take the work, and all those things are actually rooted in kind of insecurities. They're not rooted in like good positive things. They're just rooted in like a fear. It's like a fear. So I think once you're like, when I'm done, since I'm done with the tour, I have perspective on it, and I go like, oh, this is like, I'm happy that I did it. Yeah, it's like an accomplishment or whatever, but I go, it's not the ideal way to do it. I think the ideal way to do it is like what you're doing, like here's some dates, go do them when you want to announce the next one. Like, it's a healthier lifestyle to do it that way.
Yeah, I think it's the most I can handle, you know? Some people can take it, you know, and handle it all, and it burns me down pretty quick.
Well, it's really good that you listen to yourself on that. That's a good way to make things last, is to go like, oh, this is what feels good to me. I'm going to do this. Don't feel like you need to copy somebody else's. But for the next 2 years, people can see you.
Yeah.
And
we'll be out there, Return of the Rat Tour. It's getting fun.
Is it TheoVon.com?
Yep, TheoVon.com.
TheoVon.com.
Yeah, it's been fun, man.
You have any big ones in the fall?
No, I want to go see some more football games this fall, so I'm going to make sure to schedule some stuff around that.
That's the way to do it.
I want to go back to Neyland Stadium. Have you been there for UT?
No. I've been in Knoxville.
For a show?
Yeah, for a show. And you go like, I want to go to all the big, like, you know, we got tours of a lot of places. But I remember like Burr was like one of the first guys who he was like, you know, you're like, you're doing a show in Tuscaloosa. Really? He's like, yeah. Cause the next day is a game. I was like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. Like, he was scheduling shows around going to games.
Makes perfect sense.
Of course. I was like, yeah, that's fantastic.
There's
a bunch of them I really want to go to. I hope I can do something like that. That'd be fun.
Dude, congrats on all your success, man. It's been exciting to just watch and just see you kind of just creating a model that the rest of us are trying to, you know, learn and live, not live up to, but, you know, it's like we're all learning from each other, like you said, you know? And it's really like a lot of us are having to become business people when we weren't business people.
Yeah, but here's the thing is that we all just inherently are, like, whether we label it that or not, we just are. You're an entrepreneur.
Yes.
The product is the comedy, and then you run it. Like, you're the manufacturer, you're the marketing guy, you're all the, and then you learn that, like, you've got to bring in talented people around you.
You know?
Like, they help, but.
And I want to meet Danny next time, too.
Oh, he's the shit.
Is he?
Yeah.
People love him. My buddy just damn fucking loves him.
He's hilarious, dude.
God, he loves
you guys
him.
Together would be. I mean, you.
Is he pretty chill, or what's he, docile, or is he more?
he's a chill, fun dude, but and it's funny you bring him up because his mind also just goes places. And his like analyzing a situation is for me. I've seen him do it 100 times, and I'm like, you are funnier than 99% of comedians that I've he's like, he's that level of,
oh, that's awesome,
just witty, funny, very original. Like, that's the thing. He doesn't remind you of like another guy. You're like, I fucking don't know anybody like you.
Thanks, dude, same to you. Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, I think as much as even going in LA and trying to be like other people, I remember trying to like take voice lessons to sound like people that were in sitcoms and things like that, and then eventually walking out of a podcast one day and being like, I'm just going to try and be myself, you know?
That's worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it works out for everybody. That's what I was trying to say, I think. It's like, as much as it's like there's this push to take you away from yourself, like, you know, just do your best. It's hard to be ourselves sometimes.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
But yeah, thank you so much, Tom.
Hey, thank you for coming. I know we both send our best to Bert. Hope you recover.
It's tough to see it.
Yeah. Best of luck with everything, with the treatments. And
God.
Yeah.
And somebody sent me a couple GIFs of what they're doing. It was just like some of his canals or whatever.
It used to just be his limbs, but now it's up there.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
God, dude. And that's the floodplain on his fucking kidneys.
It's a lot. It is a lot. Thank you guys for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. We'll